Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Here, so glad to be with you. I am really excited about this word that God has put into my spirit. As we continue our series, It's Time. Last week, Pastor Dan preached a blinder when he taught us from God's word that it was time to break camp. And I just want to pick up from that, and we want to speak this morning on the subject, It's Time to Advance. One of the things that I am so aware of is over this last 18 months that there has been restriction, confinement, whether that's been in your home, whether that's been in your work, whether it's been in your church, that there's just been a sense of limitation. But I believe this is a new season. God is doing a new thing. And I believe that the word of God to us today is this: it is time to advance. I believe it's time to advance in your Christian walk. I believe it's time to advance in the health of your marriage and your family. I believe it's time to advance in your business. This is not the time to look back. This is the time to go forward. And the scripture that I want to read to you is probably one of the best known stories from the book of Joshua. It's the Battle of Jericho. Now, just prior to that, we read these words in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. Have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." Here's our verse. "And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." It's time to advance. The book of Joshua, of course, is a book of conquest. It's a book of transitions. Things are moving very quickly and very rapidly. And the children of Israel, just to give context, have wandered for 40 years in the wilderness looking for the promised land. They wander because of their unbelief. They wander because they listened to the bad report that was brought to them. And until a whole generation died off, guess what? They just wandered in a wilderness, in almost like a circular motion. They were so close, yet so far away. Have you ever felt like that in life? You're so close to something. You're so close to purpose. Since you're so close to breakthrough, things are just about to change. You can almost taste it, then it's taken away from you. And it would have been like this for the children of Israel, but there was a whole generation that grew up that knew nothing but wandering. They knew nothing but wilderness. They knew nothing but setting up tent and pulling down tent. But this was all about to change. It may have been like, in a sense, that they were in a fog, and maybe today you feel like you're in a wilderness. I want to encourage you, my brother and sister, don't give up. You're not there yet. You don't know how close you are to your breakthrough. You don't know how close you are to your miracle. But we see a number of things that are changing here. Number one, we see a change in leadership. Moses had been the man. Moses is an incredible character. Hey, it's Moses that we read that there at the burning bush, he heard the word from the Lord. He heard the instruction that he was to go and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into what God had for them. Moses felt insecure. He did not feel capable of it. In fact, he had this whole dialogue with God when he says, "God, I can't speak. You know, use my brother. He's more gifted. He's more talented than I am." But Moses was used in a mighty, mighty way when he followed the instruction of the Lord. It's to Moses that the Ten Commandments were given. We're told about Moses that when he came down from the mountain, his face shone with the glory of God. What an incredible leader he was. Sadly, because the people murmured and complained, he got to Moses, and you all know the story, that when he was told to speak to the rock, he hit that rock, and God said because of his disobedience, he could not enter into the promised land. He was allowed to see it, but he couldn't enter it. And up steps Joshua. Joshua had been Moses' servant. Joshua was a warrior. He was a fighter. He had been a faithful servant for all these years. He'd been around Moses. He knew what leadership was like. And maybe he had a slightly different style. But here's a guy that also had wandered for 40 years because of the unbelief of others. 40 years with a promise. 40 years carrying that sense of what God had said to him, and yet it had not come to pass. But here he is. God has called him. And can I just say this? I believe that God has a leader for every generation. Acts 13, we read this. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation. And I'm observing something right now across our land, across the world. There seems to be some shifting taking place. Even in our local church, there's shifting taking place. Don't get nervous about that. God is positioning people. God is repositioning people. I believe that there are opportunities to step up and step in to the promises of God. Maybe in your local church or here in the local church called Apex, there's an opportunity for you to step into the purposes of God. Things are shifting, yet God has his man called Joshua. And can I ask you this question? Maybe you're one of those leaders. Maybe you're one of these leaders that God is calling for such a time as this. I'm not only referring to church, maybe in your workplace. Maybe God's calling you to step up. Maybe there's a promotion that is coming your way. There was a shifting in leadership. But not only was there a shifting in leadership, there was a change in methods and strategies. In other words, the way they operate and function is changing. For 40 years, for all these years, the children of Israel have been eating manna. Manna was the provision of God. They literally would come out of their tent and they would collect enough for the day, and that would be sufficient for them for their journey. Well, of course, why was it manna? Well, I'll tell you why God gave them manna, because they were traveling people. They didn't have enough time to cultivate soil and plant seed because they were always moving. But the Bible tells us in chapter 5 there that as they came into the just opposite Jericho, the plains of Jericho, the Bible says, that they ate of the produce of the land. And the Bible says the next day the manna stopped. They had been so used to operating on a miracle. Now, let me say very clearly, I thank God for miracles. But I believe in this time and season also that God has given you, God has given me methods and strategies to move forward in our life, to advance. God has given us clarity. God is showing us, just like the children of Israel, that they were to cultivate the soil, to plant the seed, to water the seed, to work the harvest. God was now changing their methods. And maybe right now you feel yourself in a transitional period, and maybe you're operating in old methods and old strategies, and God is saying, wait a minute, a new season requires a new direction and requires a new voice. There was a change in methods and strategies. But not only that, folks, there was a change in the people. This is so important. They were going from wandering to occupying and becoming an army. They were nomads. They were travelers. Tents up, tents down. Tents up, tents down. But now God was taking them to be a people of conquest and occupation. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy, we read these words. God will give you houses you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant. I love that as God has called us to go forward and advance and take the land and take territory for him. I love the fact that he's changing our mindset. You see, the children of Israel, when they were called out of Egypt, taken out of Egypt, they had a slave mentality. They had a mentality that was just used to obeying what the hard taskmasters said. In fact, we see that when Moses sent the spies out to check out the land, remember 10 came back with a bad report. And what did they say? When they saw the giants, they said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. But you see, the people were changing. I believe we need to change, not only in regard to geography, but in regard to our mentality. I've been reading a lot recently, maybe you're familiar with this, of something called the imposter syndrome. So many people suffer from imposter syndrome. What is that? Well, that feeling that you're never good enough, you're never smart enough, that someone's going to find you out. You're in that place or position at work and you don't feel fully qualified, and one day somebody's going to discover. So you operate your life always thinking, wait a minute, I'm just an imposter. Apparently it's a big issue right now. And for the children of Israel, when they've come from a slave mentality to wandering mentality, now God is saying that your way of thinking has got to change. Now you are occupiers. Now you are possessors. Now you are going to take the land. You're not going to work the land for someone else. The land is going to be yours. You're not going to look after the house for someone else. The house is going to be yours. I believe that's the word of the Lord for someone. And maybe there's a business owner, or sorry, maybe there's an employee right now. And maybe God's challenging you and saying, hey, you've been an employee long enough. It's time for you to become the business owner. Hey, receive that in Jesus' name. Limiting beliefs hold us down and hold us back. And they're all around us. Voices are competing for our attention, trying to limit us and get into our psyche and get into our mind. That's why the Bible says that we've got to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. Hey, we're all familiar with the story of Roger Bannister, who was able to run the sub-4-minute mile. Prior to Roger Bannister doing that, everyone has been told it's impossible. It can't be done. It can't happen. Man is not designed that way. It is physically impossible. But guess what? Roger Bannister ran the mile in sub-4 minutes. And you know what? After that, his record only lasted for 46 days. Someone pushed through. Someone broke that way of thinking. And by breaking that way of thinking, they blazed a trail for many others to come through. And you know, it's been done many, many, many times since then. But the way of thinking is changing. And I want to say for you and me, brothers and sisters, we must get that kingdom mentality. I know we live on earth and so much is focused on earth, but we've got to get that kingdom mentality. If we want to take the land for Jesus, if we want to see our community won for Christ, if we want to see a difference in our family, we need to have a kingdom mentality. The Bible says you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. Listen, we should not let culture speak to us. We need to speak to culture. Oh, it's so dark out there, Neil. It's so bleak out there. Sin is rampant. I know that, my friend. But you're the light of the world. Turn the light on. We should not be restricted or restrained or confined to culture. We need to take hold of culture. Why? Because we are citizens of heaven. And I love the fact that in Joshua 1:3, we read these words. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. And I believe that is the word for us, as we believe we're going to take the land and take our community. Listen, conquest and victory do not come in our own strength. We serve a conquering king. And I believe right now, I get a sense in my spirit that hopelessness and hope are ready to collide, that darkness and light are ready to collide. Something is about to happen as we prepare ourselves to advance and move forward. So not only was there a change in leadership, not only was there a change in methods and strategy, but there was a change in the people. And my prayer today is, oh God, would you affect a change in us? You see, if you love Jesus, you are positioned to enter heaven. But I believe whilst on earth, we are positioned to enter all that God has promised for us. And maybe you're saying right now, Neil, I'm so weary. I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. I feel like giving up. I just sense a word from God to say, you're going to be glad that you didn't give up. Your breakthrough is on the horizon. Your place of promise is about to come to pass and be revealed to you. Don't give up, we used to sing, on the brink of a miracle. The book of Galatians says, don't become weary in well-doing. You will reap a harvest, what? If you faint not. Now back to Joshua. Now Joshua is at the edge of the promise after 40 years. And in chapter 6, verse 2, he receives this word from the Lord, see. See. Now, why did God say that to Joshua? Joshua, look at Jericho, look at the promised land, and see. Well, I believe that God was truly reminding him of the vision and of the words that he has spoken. Remember, for 40 years, he's traveled in a wilderness. For 40 years, sand between his toes. For 40 years, tent up, tent down. You know, a lot of stuff can get on you in 40 years. Think about this. 40 years of disappointments. 40 years of highs and lows. 40 years of things that he's had to put up with. 40 years of seeing people die and pass away. Listen, over that period of time, Joshua has seen a lot. But now God says, listen, you need to get laser focus again. I want you to look at Jericho, because Jericho is your place that you're going to go through to get into that promised land. I want you to see it again. And I believe that God is stirring us up. Excuse me if I get passionate. I believe that God is stirring us up. Because I believe for some of you, your vision has become dim. There are things that have got onto you that are restricting your view. And God is saying it's time to see again. It's time to look through that eye of faith. It's time to see possibilities as we advance into all God has for us. It's time to move forward. What filter are you looking through? What filter are you living your life through? I recently did a DNA test. The purpose of that was that my sons wanted to know a little bit more about our heritage. Wanted to know, where exactly did you come from, Dad? Those of you that don't know me, I was adopted when I was 12 months old. Sorry, 11 months old. I was adopted when I was 11 months old. And all my life, 58 years, I was told that by the orphanage, had told Mom and Dad that I had a Nigerian heritage. You're Nigerian. So when people would meet me, I would meet them and they would say, what's your background? I would say, yeah, I'm Nigerian. And the interesting thing is, you know, the Nigerians would look at me and they would go, yeah, we can see that. Yeah, definitely Nigerian. No reason to doubt that at all. 58 years. But in my 58th year, I did a DNA test once again because the boys just wanted to find out a little bit more about where we come from. And listen to what I discovered. I'm not Nigerian, but my heritage is actually Congolese and Southern East Africa, which is the countries of, which is Uganda, Tanzania, and Kenya. Nigeria is in West Africa. My heritage is Southeast Africa. But all my life, I've just lived through that. Very comfortable with that, by the way. But all my life I've lived because that's what I've been told. What lens are you looking through life? Who said to you that you're a failure? Who was it that said to you that you're never going to make it? Who told you that you were no good? Who said you were average? Who put a label on you and titled it self-doubt? What have you been operating in and through all your life that is restricting you moving forward into God's plan, God's purpose, and the ultimate destination that he has for you? My friend, we need to see afresh again. Jericho was securely barred, the scriptures tell us. They put a lock on the door. They thought that by locking the door, bolting the gate, that they could keep God's people out. But God said to Joshua, Joshua, I need you to see. I need you to see Jericho, and I need you to see past Jericho. Because right now, the folks there think they're locking and keeping you out. And maybe in your world right now, you're dealing with a situation where you feel locked out. You feel barred. You feel restricted. You've been pushed away. But I believe, hold on to the promise of God. The Bible says, without a vision, people perish. In other words, you won't see clearly. Listen to this. Helen Keller, at the age of 19 months, became deaf and blind as a result of an unknown illness, perhaps rubella or scarlet fever. She then communicated primarily using home signs until the age of 7, when she met her first teacher and lifelong companion, Annie Sullivan, who taught her language, including reading and writing. Sullivan's first lessons involved spelling words on Keller's hands to show her the names of objects around her. She also learned how to speak and to understand other people's speech using the Tamona method. After an education at both specialist and mainstream schools, she attended Radcliffe College of Harvard University and became the first deaf-blind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. She worked for the American Foundation for the Blind from 1924 until 1968, during which time she toured the United States, traveled to 35 countries around the globe, advocating for those with vision loss. My goodness, who told you it couldn't be done? Who said to you, you'll never make it? What's interesting about Helen Keller, one of the great statements that she made, she was asked the question, could you imagine anything else worse or anything worse than being blind? Listen to what she said. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight and no vision. Wow. Having sight and no vision. You see, when God said to Joshua, see, it was so important that Joshua was able to visualize, because the next instructions that God were going to give him seemed absolutely crazy. It seemed ludicrous. The instructions were, you have to march around the city for 6 days once, and then on the seventh day you march around 7 times. Let's be honest, folks. Does that not sound a bit crazy to you? Question, what do you need to do in obedience to what God is saying? As we advance, maybe we've got to deal with the, wait a minute, this sounds crazy, God. This doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. But maybe your next victory is dependent on your obedience to what God is declaring over your life. You see, C was to provoke obedience. C came before advance. And I believe that God right now is calling us to see afresh, to see the promises of God, see the purposes of God, because it's time to advance. Well, I don't know about you folks, but I really trust that God is going to help me to enter into the promises that he has for me. I'm believing for my community. I'm believing for my family. I'm believing for my local church. Yes, it is time to advance. But may you, through the eye of faith, see possibilities today. See potential today. See and hear what God is saying and respond to his voice. Walls come down when we put our trust in God. Hey, you're here today. You don't know Jesus. You never asked him to be your Lord and Savior. You'll be honest enough to admit you do not have a relationship with him. I would love to pray with you right now, my friend. I would encourage you that if you want to advance not only in Christian life, but if you want to advance in what we call abundant life, it happens when we make Jesus Christ our Lord. If that's you, would you just pray with me right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner, and I know that you're my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me brand new and a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.